Right, I'm going to be talking as quickly as I can about that real world thing. Basically about actually being a real software developer. It occurred to me a little while ago that there were a huge number of things I wish I'd known before I actually started really writing software in the real world. So I thought I'd write a bit of a list and throw it out to you guys. So this works every day. I'm going to go through a couple of sort of operation-based things, day-to-day things, stuff that's worth paying attention to while you're actually doing your day-to-day work. A few little technical things, nothing too deep really, just general things to be aware of. Context, actually putting what you do into a business scenario, and talking a little bit about your brain and what coding does to it, the horrible things it does to your brain. Okay, right. Writing. Lots of stuff happens in the course of your day. Try and record everything if you possibly can, really. The more zealous, the better. Get a big fat notepad, scribble it down, because you'll get a lot of details. You'll get chats you've had with clients, with the other developers, decisions that have been made, changes, all kinds of other things. So stay on top of your information. Keep tabs on all of it. And do it as soon as it's happening, because you'll forget if you put it off and say you'll do it later. Speak. Chat to your co-developers, don't just sit there in a world of your own coding. If you've got an idea, shout it out to everybody else. What?
MSN.
Or MSN it if you've got something wrong with your voice. Oh great, his voice is still broken. Even if you've got doubts about what people are doing, general plans, little technical niggles, just shout it out, even if you're brand new to the company, just say what you're thinking. If it turns out you're wrong, never mind, it's better just to get the ideas out there. Relaying, again, it's communication. Make sure you tell everybody who's involved with something, CC all the right people, write things at the proper level of detail and all of that. I find in practice managers speak a completely different language to developers, so just be careful what you say, information. If you have to, then remember to flush your buffer once in a while. Simulation, yep, talk to the other developers because they'll probably be fairly wise after being there for a few years. They'll know the ins and outs of the system, ask them a lot of questions. Again, offer up improvements if you think it's merited. Don't walk all over their code if you don't really have their permission, because they might have to shout at you if you do that. Get other developers to audit your code, because that's quite an important thing, especially when you're starting out, because university code is all well and good, but it doesn't really pass it in the real world, so you've got to be aware of that. And then another thing, internal documentation. When you're new to a company, it's probably a good idea to read any internal documentation they have, and if they don't, then put some together, because you're a completely new user. It's probably something that you're good at, because you don't understand anything, so you'll be great at writing off about it, because it's all new to you. You'll bump into all the obstacles anyway. And chat to your developers, and just share the solutions that you found to common problems, because otherwise everybody's going to have to resolve those same problems. Technicalities. Who recognises this little symbol and can tell me where it's from? Hey, there we go. Yes, one go-to can't hurt. It can. Be very careful with what you're doing, and don't do stupid things in code, because it really will come back and bite you, especially when you're working on code with other people. Learn conventions of the software house. Everybody has these naming conventions mainly. Know what the life cycle is, the release strategy, all of that. When you've got code freezes coming up, that sort of thing, just kind of plan ahead. And just know how they do things internally, really, find that out. Commenting, fairly obvious one here. Probably don't need to go into too much detail about that. But if you have to read something more than once, then you probably need to comment. Documentation stuff that's built in as well, XML doc, Java doc, these are really useful things, because you go away and generate nice looking documentation. In case of something like XML doc in Visual Studio, it will actually get you these little IntelliSense pop-ups that describe the objects as you hover over them. Little things like that are well worth doing. It makes life easier down the line. revolution is better than evolution in some cases. You've really got to know when you're working on a horrible, nasty code base for spaghetti that is never going to go anywhere. Sometimes you've just got to clean it out and start again, because otherwise you're just going to be having one headache after another, and turning up to work in the morning is just going to be a nightmare. So yeah, learn from old mistakes, make it smarter, viva revolution. Unix principles, very, very useful things. Generally, based on the concept of modularity, everything is a small piece doing one thing well. So try and think about that whenever you're putting a system together. You know, if one thing is doing too many things, then it's just going to be difficult to manage. Putting as much information in data structures as possible is a good thing, because you can write a simple algorithm to work with it, and it's much less likely to go wrong. Clear code spread over several lines is better than one long line of, well, clever but incomprehensible stuff. And there's no one true way, you know, you can always solve the problem in multiple ways. And that's a very brief summary of the Unix design philosophy. There are plenty of books on stuff like this, mainly done by people like Ken Thompson and who's the other one? My mind has got Eric S. Raymond as well. He writes very clever things about this. Running little test and helper apps is very good. It doesn't take long to knock together a little app. Automate something if you can. You know, it makes life easier. It's better than hand-packing a file. You know, don't work hard, work smart is the general philosophy. Dig around. If you're using something big and nasty like Visual Studio, go through all the menus, figure out what all the commands do, because some of them will probably save you a heck of a lot of time. Same with the text editor, you know, get one that does nice shiny things like code folding, highlighting, stuff like that. Vim, Emacs, Context, Notepad, these are all fairly good. Change is inevitable unless a vending machine is involved, a wise man once said, I believe it was Terry Pratchett. And it's very true. It's likely that somewhere down the line management are going to come up with some great idea, and suddenly all the code that you've been working on for the last 6 months is going to need a complete rejig. And if it's tightly coupled, no cohesion, it's going to be a nightmare. So try and be as modular as you can, think about the future, figure out what's likely to change, and just, you know, if anybody's ever done a design patterns thing, then this will make sense, but structure is kind of key when you're putting together a big program. Right, on to context. Working with your manager can be, well, interesting when you're coming from university. You know, you're used to coding on your own, you manage your own time. You do it for, you know, your own ends to some extent. And then when you join a software house, basically, you know, you're a resource, your time is finite. They're going to be allocating projects to you, and they're going to want it done in a certain time, you know, a certain style. And, you know, you'll find you're often chatting to your manager, and you know, you can get a lot of conflicts happening like that. And as I said before, developers speak a different language. Developers like the details, managers like the higher context. And breaking down that communication barrier is a very important thing, I find. So chat to your manager regularly, get to know them. Who's this character here? Anybody?
Development manager.
It's the pointy head boss, indeed. Beware of this guy. He will make your life difficult. But seriously, most managers are okay. You've got to get to know them and chat to them. You know, don't let that communication break down, basically. So yeah, think about what you say versus what you mean. You can't just say, oh, it's working. Well, is it? You know, has it been tested? You know, there's a lot more to it than that. Flying through this very quickly. I've probably got too many slides in. Anybody seen this nice triangle before? Can you tell me what it means, Chris?
You basically get three options and you can only pick two of them.
Yes, that's right. You've got fast, cheap, and good. You can pick two. Every manager wants to pick three. Sometimes you've just got to say no. You know, it's not possible to get all three of those things happening at once. Be persistent. Chase down people. Typically, you'll have to work with people in other companies. They'll be difficult. You know, they won't answer your phone calls. They won't return your emails. It happens a lot. You really have to chase people down. But be persistent. Stick with it. Get them to commit to something. Typically, if you can get them on the end of the phone, then it's great. They'll be the nicest people in the world, even though they're ignoring all your emails. But yeah, really chase people down. And take ownership of projects as well, because that will motivate you to carry it through. If you don't feel like you have machinical control of what's going on, it's very easy to feel deflated and non-committal. You know, if you've actually got hold of a project, then you want to see it succeed. So if you can get hold of that, then that's always a good thing. Okay, I'm going to talk about brains for a little while. I find personally coding can be very tiring. At the end of the day, you've been thinking through problems all day, your brain is absolutely scrambled. Just be aware of how tired you are sometimes. Don't dive into doing something that's going to be far too difficult. Don't rewrite your core libraries at 5 p.m. because the next day you'll just have to pick it apart and do it all over again. So stick to light duties if you're completely awake. And drink lots of water, because I find that really helps. If your brain's well hydrated, then it'll do what it's supposed to. Also, I find coffee doesn't really make you a better programmer. It might make you feel a bit more awake, but it really doesn't help. Alcohol, on the other hand, if you subscribe to a certain belief, may make you a better programmer if you can hit so-called Steve Ballmer peak. I haven't tested this theory. I have an emergency bottle of whiskey in the desk, but that hasn't been broken out yet. But this may work. I don't know. Give it a try. Code mode. Again, this is where you've been coding for ages and you just kind of get blinkered and you don't really understand where you are, who you are, what the hell is going on. You're just so on task with coding. So try and recognise when you're in that state. I mean, I have actually picked up the phone whilst I've been coding, had a chat with somebody, arranged something, put it down, couldn't remember a thing, nothing stuck at all. So if you're coding and something puts you out of it, you've got a context change, again, write stuff down because that would be very useful later because you'll forget. It's all about marshalling your brain into doing what it's supposed to. So yeah, think twice and write that down. Okay, now I've absolutely flown through these slides because I probably put a little bit too much in. So I'll just summarise. So stay on top of info, be careful with your communication, you know, be descriptive of what you're doing, be aware of who you're telling what and why. Find the right solution to the right problem. I mean, that's pretty much what the degree is. It's all about technical details. Context. Just, you know, you've got to understand that what you're doing is a resource and it's fitting into a business, and at the end of the day, probably something has to be sold. And keep your brain happy because, you know, it needs it. Listen to what it's saying. If you're tired, recognise it, have a break, have some water, you know, refresh yourself. And read these books, because these are all excellent books. First one, Eric S. Raymond, Cathedral of the Bazaar. Lots of open source things, bits of wisdom in that. Same with the one right at the end here, another Eric S. Raymond book, The Art of Unix Programming, that's got a lot of very good principles in it. Mythical Man Month by Fred Brooks, talking a bit more about the business side, basically the principle that there's no such thing as man hours, man days, man weeks, you know, the problem's a bit more complicated than that. And then Mind Hacks and Mind Performance Hacks, very good little tricks, tips for overclocking your brain and all of this fancy sounding stuff. It's quite good fun, it's basically fun or something, but it's well worth the read, and it kind of ties in with what I was saying about keeping the brain happy. And that's about it. Anything bothering anybody? Any questions? Yes?
You get on where we are.
It depends on the day. It depends which manager, actually. I think the more important question is, does my manager get on with me? It depends on the day. Mostly, yes. Managers are very busy people. So sometimes they don't have time. Yes.
My next question is, what tricks did you use to get your manager to send you to America?
Mind control.
I mean, what were sexual favours involved, or was it just trying?
Well, we did share a couple of hotel rooms. So buy me a drink, and I might tell you. No, I guess I just got lucky. I work for a company who has offices in the States, so I got sent out there a couple of times. Although the last few months I've just been in Swansea working, and it's not nearly as much fun as going to America. But there you go. Probably my commitments. Any other questions? We're about done. Who wants to talk next?